told me, he said, "Unless you'll be using that for holding," and he said, "This is just pure sand." That's him.
The older.
The one I got home.
Oh.
It's the older one.
This is every little one.
That's one. Green beans go.
Green beans go. Oh, we got to turn on this one. It doesn't count. You fixing this one for the guitar? Okay.
Did he ask you how it was going? He asked me how I was enjoying it very much.
No, I mean, I just did it church. Yeah, at church. I smoked down my husband. He's not playing the music at church. He's not playing back home.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God indeed. Let's get ready for church. Praise God. Hope everyone's doing well. Just thank the Lord for His many, many blessings. What a wonderful time of the year it is as we gather together. Let's all stand if you can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Going to take spoken prayer requests. Anyone on my right side? Miss Lori, I see your hand already up. Yes, ma'am.
From Linda Julie, she's got a real bad case of bronchitis.
Oh, goodness. Goodness. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else on the right side, Sister Susan? Absolutely. Most definitely will. Anyone else on my right side has a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Anyone on the left side? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Yes, brother. Absolutely. So many, so many. Anyone else, congregation? I don't want to miss anyone with a spoken prayer request. All right. Anyone up on the roster? Brother Thomas?
Remember me. I've done something with my back. I can't get in there and stand up. So I don't want to do that.
Yes, you can. Amen. Anyone else?
Uncle Lee and Brother Buck.
Brother Buck. Trying to remember, I think Sister Somerville. I think she's still in the hospital from what we're hearing.
Yeah, I think so.
It's the last we'd heard. And I know there's so many others. When we do spoken, you're always afraid you're going to leave someone else. And also, for my family, I'm just going to say that God knows. Any unspoken prayer requests this evening, we'll just show by the raising of your hand. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name. Lord, as we come together, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord tonight, dear Lord, as we open this service. I thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us the freedom to come into your house and to worship. Dear Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, dear Lord, for this busy time, dear Lord, this season of celebration as we prepare for the birth, to celebrate the birth of you, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just love you and praise you. Lord, but we ask too that you'll just guide us and direct us during this time, dear Lord, and just calm each and everyone's nerves. Dear Lord, know that this day is coming, dear Lord, and we're just going to praise and worship you. Dear Lord, now you've heard those spoken prayer requests, dear Lord, those spoken and unspoken. Dear Lord, for those, dear Lord, that are suffering in the hospitals right now, dear Lord, for those that are in assisted livings, nursing homes, and recovery, those that are at home recovering, Lord, I ask that you'll help them with their therapy, help them with their healing. And dear Lord, for those that have been diagnosed, dear Lord, or waiting on a diagnosis for whatever illness, Lord, you know which and every situation it is, dear Lord, and we just love and praise you. Lord, like I said, we just love you. We just want to give you our all, dear Lord, and give you all the honor and glory. I ask that you'll bless our pastor and his family, all the ministries going forth, dear Lord, all those that are in need this year. But, dear Lord, the best gift of all would be the gift of salvation. And, dear Lord, we pray for those that are lost, dear Lord, whether it be family members, friends, co-workers, whatever situation, or just that anyone, dear Lord, will hear your word, dear Lord, and they'll turn from their whatever direction they're going and turn towards you. But, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 92, just a little talk with Jesus. Evening, just to always love on him. Just want to thank him for his many, many blessings. We're going to get ready and take up the evening offering. Don't forget about our, it's Sunday morning, and during our normal service at 11 o'clock, we will be having our Christmas presentation. The choir's been practicing, and it's going Going to be really neat. It's just a great time. Plan on coming. Also, we will continue to have Sunday school. The adult class that meets up here will be meeting downstairs. So don't forget that. Just come on to Sunday school as always, and we'll just prepare. Give them a chance. They'll be practicing up here. They'll have the sanctuary doors closed. Going to ask you not to enter until they are through. So please, just about, they'll probably just have it closed off and just let everybody know when they can start coming in to be seated. So we just love the Lord this evening. Just praise God, praise God. All right, got another helper. All right. Brother. No, ma'am. Go ahead and give us that announcement. Yes, next Wednesday night. Right, next Wednesday night, in lieu of meeting over here, we'll be meeting in the Curtis Center. And it will be Christmas cookies, hot chocolate, asking those that can bake to bring some cookies and stuff. And then we'll have hot chocolate and coffee is the plan. It's going to be normal times over in the Curtis Center next Wednesday night. Absolutely. Praise. So that's after service. Hey, she is prepared. I love that. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Jim, if you'd ask the Lord to bless our offering, please. Yes, Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Green for Christmas. All right. I'm going to do a Christmas song for you tonight. We only a little week, a little over a week away, right? Boy, seems like we just celebrated it last month. Time flies. But anyway, I'm going to give you a little Christmas song here. It's an old song, and it to me, it's one of my favorites. It's called, What Child Is This? Anyway, Christmas will be here in a few minutes, you know. Bless them. I know. I had to do that.
There's always a delay when I'm coming up here. It's just a coincidence, either that or it's me. I think it's me. As long as you all can hear me, I hear me enough.
All right.
What are you starting with? Jehovah Jireh. Quick question. We'll be in E minor, as you know.
Is that loud enough?
Good to me. How's that sound? All right. So, I tell you, you know, I work in healthcare, just so you know. I don't know if y'all have heard of COVID. It's this little thing. It's, you know, we're all into imports. It's this little thing that was imported sometime earlier this year. And I'll tell you what, it's got the hospitals right now, actually, it's peaking again, and it's really packed out. And, you know, we've had it, and we've been through it, and done with that. Because, you know, I could have stayed pretty down. We never knew which way it was going to turn. But the one thing we did know was that God was with us, and we know in whom we believe. And I'll tell you what, he brings us through. So I don't know if you all know this song. I don't think we could find it, could we? Jehovah Jireh. My provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Amen. So that, and there's a song called Whose Report Will You Believe? I think I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Let's make sure you can hear me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He shall give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Let's sing it again. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He shall give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. So whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. For his report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. Well, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. For his report says, I am healed. Yes, his report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. One more time. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
I mean, you know, he is a provider.
Amen. Jehovah Jireh. Wonderful. Praise God.
Brother Jim's going to be bringing the word tonight. So, Brother Jim, you come at this time, take your liberty in the Lord, and bring the word to us tonight.
Let's praise the Lord, everybody. Let's give him a hand clap. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I know this is Wednesday night, and normally, as I said many times from up here, it's we choose to be here. It's so much easier, especially as dark as it seemed coming in this evening. I told Miss Elaine either our car or these other headlights are brighter, or my eyes are getting older trying to drive the back roads coming over here in the evenings, especially once it gets dark so early. But love the Lord. We're going to go right into the Word. I want to ask if you would turn to Joshua. We're going to go chapter 3. We're just going to read two verses to start off, and then we'll read some more as we get into it. But we're going to go to Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 3 and 4. Praise God. When you get there, just say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. By measure, come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Y'all read that with me. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Praise God for His Word. Brother Eddie, ask you just to ask the Lord to anoint this His Word tonight.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come tonight, God, with loving and thankful hearts, God, for another opportunity to come here.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we do ask you now, Lord, just to lead and guide and direct, Lord, in the message tonight. I ask you to bless the man that is bringing it. God, we know that your Word is anointed. I pray, God, that you will anoint our ears and our hearts, God, and our minds of understanding, that we may be receptive and obedient and submissive to your Word.
Yes, Lord.
We'll look to you to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated if you can. Just praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know if they've swapped mics yet or not, so praise the Lord. But I just want to just tell you how much I love you, how much I really just to honor the opportunity I have to come up here tonight. Brother Eddie had asked me the other evening if I would bring the message this evening. I was really excited about it because God, and I know I said this not long ago, I think it was the last time I spoke, that I feel led by the Lord to get out of my comfort zone and to really stand strong in my faith and to really seek Him and His Word. And I want to say something as we get started. I'm looking around anymore in the Sunday school class. Actually, Joshua is where we started. We started first the Bible, and we're just taking chapters each week. Sometimes it takes us 2 or 3 weeks as we do a chapter, ask a lot of questions. Brother Keith can vouch for that. We've got good questions, and there's not any silly questions in our class. And the one thing we're studying as we go to the Bible is the character of God. How many of y'all believe in the infallible Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. His Word is true and everlasting. And even as we study the Old Testament, and I'll be honest with you, for a long time, besides the normal childhood stories, I was a New Testament kind of guy. But now that we're into the Old Testament and we're reading it, and I'm so enthused, like, as you go through, and for the, just a little refresher for those that really aren't, I'm just going to say it real fast, I won't take a lot of time. But as you know, Moses has now passed away and died. God had called him home. And Joshua has been appointed to lead the Israelites into the Promised Land. And as we start off in Joshua, there's many, many stories. But one thing God had assured Joshua is that he wasn't alone. God said, I'll go before you. And that's exactly right. If we have a message for us tonight, and Brother Jeff, thank you for that song because it fits so much with the way my heart is leading for this message. It says, for ye have not passed this way before. You think about the things we're going through now. There's so many things that are unknown. There's so many things that are distracting us. There's so many things that are, I'm going to say, false news, false thoughts. And then the truth is in there, but the truth that I have to go by is God's. that He's got it in control and He's got things. So as Joshua and them preparing, if you look at this, they're fixing to cross the River Jordan. And it was brought to our attention the other day. We talk about crossing the Red Sea, but when we talk about another crossing, the River Jordan, that Joshua leads them. It is amazing if you read. Matter of fact, you know, we do a chapter each week, and sometimes when I start reading, you'll end up getting two or three chapters. Especially on Sunday morning, I like to reread. And sometimes I even use the audio Bible. I put the things in my ears and just let it go. And next thing you know, when we're in class, I have to be careful not to start talking about stuff that's going to happen. We hadn't got there yet as a class. But I just get so enthused. But if you read this about Joshua, and I just want to say this, as he talks to him, there's a couple things they mention. It says, don't, and he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant. Now, he's telling the people, he'd given them 3 days to rest and prepare themselves. It actually said, sanctify yourself before this crossing. And when you think about the Ark of the Covenant, and in essence, I'm going to use that is the Holy Spirit, that is God that's going in front of them. You know, as they've gone through the wilderness, now as they go into the promised land, a whole generation's gone. There's only two left at this time, and that's Joshua and Caleb that's left. Because they were out of the 12 spies, if y'all remember, that went into the promised land. They said, oh, we can take this. God is going to guide us into it. But 10 says, oh, no, there's giants. They're talking about all things. Yes, it was a land of plenteous, of milk and honey, and they talked about those things. But the giants, and so God let them wander for 40 years. And that generation's gone. I believe, and I don't want to say it wrong, anyone up to 20 or under 20, or still, you know, above that was what was not able to be alive at this time. And I'm talking fast because I have so much I want to say about this chapter, but I want to relate it to where we are. So they're fixed to cross. He said, get ready. So he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant come by, because they're in their tents, they're in their area, he said, I want you to fall in and follow them. Now, you know, God had already placed, there's certain orders that they're to follow and those type things. But when they got to the River Jordan, again, the reason I ask you if you believe the Bible, because it states some things here. It talks about the Jordan River. Right now, there are those that say the river isn't really that deep. It isn't situations. But they said there's a lot of irrigations, a lot of canals been taken off the river today. But at this time in the Bible, it says during harvest time that the Jordan was up enough it was out of its banks. Now, it wasn't like a normal flood where the land's fairly level, you know, and it goes way away. They said that part of the Jordan in that area, it's almost in a valley. So as it rises, it just becomes deeper. It says it's outside its banks. And as we talk about this in the preparation, and I'm just going to ask you to jump to verse 10. It says, and Joshua said, hereby ye should know, and he's talking about them not to worry about the crossing. The living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. And that's like we say, I believe in God's report. I believe in His character. And as He's given the promise that I will go before you. In these unknown times that we live in right now, God will go before us if we put Him first in our life. If we seek Him first and His kingdom, His righteousness, and all that we do, God will go before us no matter where we are. And then it's 11, it says, behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. But as I talked about the Jordan River, I want you to jump down to 13. I'm going through this chapter kind of just bits and pieces like an outline. And it says that, and it shall come to pass. And listen to this, the river's running. It's not like the Jordan was separated at this time. When they were approaching it, and you think about the priest, the Levites is carrying the ark. We think about our pastor or the ministers that are stepping out on that faith as leaders. When they got to the Jordan, that water was still running. And God told them to go ahead. They're taking the ark. And it says in 13, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the priest, of their feet, of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down and above, and shall stand upon a heap. So as they're stepping up to the river, I can only imagine this in my mind as you're seeing this picture. Here's the water. They're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They're obedient. They're the Levites. That's who's ordained by God to be the priest. And they step out, and they actually put their feet in the water. And at that time, that water is just, it stopped. And it says it rises in a heap. You can imagine how, we talked about this in class, as the river's flowing, you can imagine it flowing, and it was already out of its banks, it says. And as it stops, it even says to a point, and we'll read a little bit further down, that down in 15, and it says, "And as that they bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflowed all his banks all the times of the harvest." That's why I said you believe the word of God. He's already saying that it's that high. And in some of the theologians, some of the commentaries you read, it says that the Jordan at this time being so high, the only way you could cross it would be swimming it or by boat. There was no way to take the whole tribe of the Israelites through, plus carrying the ark. And it says, "The waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down towards the sea." So it means the waters on the lower end came down towards the sea of the plain. "Even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho." So as God leading them and directing, and they were pulling everybody coming through, going into the promised land that He had already promised them, He had already said, "This is your land." He had already promised Joshua and said, "I will go before you." And now Joshua's saying he's going to go before us. God is represented here in everything that He is. They put their feet in the water. It says on the as it flows. Y'all have all seen creeks and rivers flow. You know, when the water's up, that water's coming. I don't know if any of y'all remember the hurricane that we got the aftermath, and you know, you really couldn't get to Atlanta because the Chattahoochee had flooded. There were bridges being damaged with the logs and all. And I'm not saying it was that massive, but I believe the word of God. It says during this harvest, it was, what does that mean, rainy season? It could be whatever. The waters were up. But it said it came as a heap. But it says even on the lower end, even the Red Sea was affected because it wasn't getting replenished with new waters as it flowed. And that's what the word says. And as Brother Eddie and other ministers have spoken here, the word means something. And as we talk about this, I want to read this last part. I'm going to read 16 again so it flows. "That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zaratan, those that came down towards the sea of the plain." Then it says, "Even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord," what does it say? "Stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan." Praise God. This is not a story, a fable. This is not something that some writer just made up. This is the Word of God. And as we talked about this, and I've just got some notes that I wrote down, there are reasons things are done, but I have to get into them. I've got to go ahead and get into it. I know where we're going. I don't know about y'all, but there are times when we turn on the news, social media, talk to family members, friends, people I work with. The discussion today, we had our little Christmas dinner, but they asked everybody to come through in groups, you know, spread out. They had the setup. People mask up, sanitize their hands as they handle the spoons and all, which is fine. I believe that there is germs, and I believe there, you know, the corona stuff is really affecting a lot of people. But yet there was a conversation, and people, I asked a lot of people, "What are y'all doing for Christmas?" "Well, we're not going to be able to get around our family." Well, you could hear the tones. It's like it's almost a couple of them was like, "Well, let's just get it over with." And I said, "But it's not just," I said, "but this is Jesus' birthday." I said, "We're going to celebrate." And I'm not saying they should do something they shouldn't. Don't get me wrong. I'm not in that situation. But it's in a situation where as I read the Word of God and He says, He'll go before me. And He says, and I know if Jesus... And you know, we talk about God and I talk about this and I said the message. Actually, the beginning of the title tonight that I wanted to put up there first, but then I felt like, for ye have not passed this way before, was keep your eyes on God. And that's where we have to be today as Christians. We have to stand firm on His Word. Our Sunday school teachers, our ministers, our lay people, whatever ministry the Lord's placed on you, it could be just you and yourself. You may think, well, who am I? Even Moses said that, didn't he? I don't speak well. But God says, He just wants that vessel, a willing vessel. And that's who you are. You're here tonight. I mentioned the Wednesday night because you choose to be here. You know, sometimes it's good when the kids are doing stuff because then the parents come or they're, you know, whatever the situation is. But you're here. And every seed that's planted, every time that seed is watered or those weeds are plucked or that word goes in, that fertile word of God, it gives us more strength and we can stand taller. How many times have you heard a message and you felt like you could just run out that door and evangelize to somebody? That's what it's all about. Now, y'all know me. If y'all see me shouting and running and jumping pews, y'all better join in because it's God. I always say that I want to get, you know, rip-roaring and all this. And I do get excited, but I get excited where I get tongue-tied. So I try to control my words because I get to where my smile out gets bigger than my words in my mouth. But I want to tell y'all, put God first. Okay, this is Christmas. We just talked about it. Brother Jim, thank you. Christmas is just a week and a couple of days away. But what is Christmas? It's the birthday of Jesus Christ. We celebrate Jesus, the Lamb, that perfect sacrifice that was born. But it was God incarnated into man. And this same God, they had the Ark of the Covenant, and that says the God of all, they followed. And you know, if you know about the Ark, you know that, and you know, there's different partakes, but that it says it had the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tablets of the covenant. And it goes into Revelation 11:19 and some of the prophets and that even there was a place there where the temple was open and there was the Ark of the Covenant. That's God. But we've got Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We have Him to follow. He's going to lead us. He calls us so many places. And we think about it as we celebrate this Christmas and we think about, and the reason I brought up about families, Dad's 93. We're being very cautious. I told you, and we all know it. Y'all can hear me. I sound a little hoarse today, but I just got that drainage. But God has got it. And I just thank Him for all that He does, and I thank Him for His love. But most of all, I've gone through things where I've had an opportunity lately to hear people talk. And, you know, right now, there are people in the hospitals that are facing health issues. Their families had to let them go at the door. They can't go in and visit them. Dad went in, and with his dementia, Alzheimer's, whichever doctor you talk to, you know, my sister got to talk to him on the phone last time he was in the hospital, and he's wanting her to call the police because these people have kidnapped him. He has no idea what's going on. And these things are going forward, and families are suffering, and you only get to look through a glass to see your loved one. But what can I do? And that's follow God. I have to follow Him and let Him guide me. If that river is soaring, and God says cross, and as those soles of those feet touch that situation that we're going through right now, and that water is stopped, not only is it stopped, it says it goes into a heap. Can you imagine it flowing, and it just won't come any further? I can, in my imagination, if you've got water flowing and you stick a piece of glass or something there and you see that water keep coming up. But it didn't get so great that it was going to overlap them. And if you read this, the ark stopped in the middle and those priests stood on dry ground. And every one of them crossed. And you'll read as you get deeper into Joshua, he had told one from each tribe, give me 12 men, one from each tribe, get a stone out of the Jordan, and they carried it to the other side, and they make a monument. It's for our children and our children's children. When they ask, what is this for? It's to remind them what God has done. And that's where we are today. And it says we're to remind each other what God has done. Let me tell you what God's done for me. My salvation. If you'd have known where I came from and the things that I was getting into. But God, in His mercy and His grace, follow God, follow the Lord. And as I talk about that, now we're talking about Jesus Christ. And I said, okay, not only we got the corona and we've got the, you know, I call it the corn virus, but we got all these other things going forward. And I say, follow God through this unknown. What about loss of a job? Follow God. And I say, Jesus. What about a broken home because of all this stuff? Whether it be sickness is dividing a home. You hear people in their own house, loved ones have to quarantine in different sections of the house. Or it's causing, because of loss of jobs and finances, broken homes. We have to follow God. Put our faith in Him. What about the fear and anxiety that's going out right now, the unknown? I'll follow Jesus. There's so many great songs. There's so many sayings that go forth. So many cool t-shirts. The one that we had made here, it says, I need thee every hour. I love that t-shirt because I do. I need Him every hour. Because I'm going to stumble. I'm going to do something. It feels like, and I'm not saying that to give the devil more ammunition, but I know that I need God that much. I can't handle it without Him. I can't make another day without Him. I can't get up. I can't go to bed without speaking to the Lord. I just get to that thing. And then, what about death? How do the survivors make it without Jesus? These have crossed the Jordan River. Can you imagine being told, Brother Thomas, I want you to cross this. Just follow them. And I can imagine what I would be thinking. That water is just, look at it. But that faith of following the Lord, He cleared it for him and He prepared that place. You know, I think about it in so many places, and you know, I talk about how does this relate. This is not a Christmas message, but it is. Because at this time of day, the New Testament, the covenant that the Lord's given us, after the dispensation of Christ and Him dying on the cross for us, we have Jesus Christ to follow, which is God. We have God to follow in everything that He does. I want to tell you tonight, I mean, in all the things, as a kid, all I cared about was, you know, it's hurry up. I want to get to my presents. I want to see what I was getting. And it wasn't like now. I didn't think about it then. I wasn't smart enough, I guess. I always got the clothes that were in fashion at Christmas time. We never did have them when school started. So you got to get a gift, so why not give them something they need? New shoes, new pants. I was rough on pants. I always had patches on mine. Every once in a while, I'd get new glasses, because if y'all see pictures of me as a kid, I always had scotch tape right here or over here. So, you know, I'd get stuff like that. But I think about this as we talk about Christmas as being the birth of Jesus Christ, this precious Lamb that lived here for us. And I think of so many things. And as the Lord said, tell them to follow me. And I thought it was interesting that He gives a distance. Brother Keith asked this question in class. And we were talking about the cubits. As you look at it, it talked about 2,000 cubits by measure. It says, come not near to it, that they may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not. So we were asking, what was 2,000 cubits? And they say it's around 3,000 feet. And if you think about it, that's a long distance. That's a little over a half a mile. So the Levites and the ark was going. But just like in the desert, you know, they follow the cloud by day, the fire by night. If it stopped, they stopped. That's exactly the way that we should be in our life. We need to follow God in everything that we do. We need to let Him guide and direct us. I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm trying to say this clearly. We need to be so close to the Lord in this day and time, this day of unknown in areas that we've never been before. For ye have not passed this way before. I can't get that out of my mind. Jim, you've never been this way before. How do you testify to someone that's going through these struggles? Anxiety, those things seem to be words that we see all the time now. Fear. You know, they say the new norm. I know. God is still God. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. That's not that He is that way as long as I accept Him into my life. How do we do these things? And I'm going to ask you to flip over to John 10. And this is where we have to be. during this holiday season, if we have a chance with our family, with our friends, and we get a chance to talk about Christmas, and we talk about Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I'm going to go back up to 23. I didn't give them this scripture. Y'all can stay right there. I'm just going to kind of lead into it. And it says, "And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly." That's a good question. Even in our walk, there's somewhere we had to have that coming to know the Lord. I wanted to know. And it comes from the Word of God is where it comes from. But it says, "Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, thou bear witness of me." As you study the Word and you're in the Old Testament and you think about these priests that are carrying the ark and everybody rocking, not only did they go across the Jordan, they went across on dry ground. This says, "But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you." Jesus is calling out plainly. But then there's a difference here as we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, and the Word of the Lord goes out. But then He goes into what is so strong. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's where our walk in the Lord is. "Lord, I need you to guide me and direct me. But first of all, I need to know that He's my shepherd. I need to let Him be my Lord and Savior. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." What a promise. And these are the words of read. This is Jesus. It says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Greater than all these things coming against us, the viruses, death, financial loss. You hear of all the jobs being lost. You hear so many people, especially in certain industries, this is affecting terribly the things that's going on. And then in the other parts of the country, the shutdowns. But the one that I've got underlined here, let me go back and read 29. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." But what does He say when we say follow God? We're talking about Jesus. In 30, "I and my Father are one." Oh, wow. If you don't have that highlighted, underlined, however you want to do it, do not doubt who Jesus Christ is. This child, this little lamb that's born on Christmas Eve, that we celebrate it for Christmas Day, there was announced to shepherds. There were wise men that were sent to find Him and report back. So you know what they were planning on doing. They were going to get rid of Him. But that didn't work that way. The angels came and they announced the birth. The angels sang and announced in the glory of God, not just in the desert. This was to the whole world. The star of Bethlehem, everything that we celebrate at Christmas, it was made for you and I so we could follow God in everything that we go through. Even when He went to heaven and He ascended to heaven, after He had conquered death and the burial, but His resurrection is now our Lord and Savior that is alive today, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for you and me. But at the same time, He said that we can follow Him because my people know my voice. That is the same Jesus that we're celebrating in a week and a half for a celebration. There are a lot of things that go out here. And I love Christmas. Do not get me wrong. When I get through, and Miss Elaine and I, grandparents, when we get through with our kids and grandkids, matter of fact, when they're littler, we've got a picture of them sitting behind their presents. You couldn't even see but the top of their little heads. We want so many presents, and I make them open them one at a time. They get so flustered with me. We go around in a circle, one at a time. Elaine puts up with me. Because I love Christmas. I love family. I love the celebration. The fear that's out there right now, the anxieties, the separation, it is real. But Jesus Christ is realer. He's greater than everything that we face. And I know realer's not a word. I see your smile. But it sounded cool, didn't it? But God is in control. And what He's doing in Joshua, what He did with Moses with the Red Sea, when the people were complaining because they didn't have meat, He gave them the doves. And He just gave them the fowl of the land. When they were thirsty, He gave them water. When Pharaoh was coming against them, they had mountains on the sides, and they think, "What?" You know, and then they start complaining again. Why did you bring us out here to die? And God opened the Red Sea. And with Moses and the time that was going, when it was time for them to go in the Promised Land, and as we get into Joshua, I'm so excited about it because there's so much more to learn. We know the stories of Jericho. We know God just promised them all those nations that they were going to conquer. That already, their lands had already been divided. They know where they're going to be. They were given their boundary. Everywhere you step, it says, it is your land. And I'm not going to hold y'all late tonight, but I just want you to know that we are in a journey right now. And this journey says, for ye have not passed this way before. I've just celebrated another birthday. Gosh, they come pretty fast, Jim. They do that too. And it's a whole new journey for me. But I'll let you know when I get old, and then y'all can look out for me. But it's just a new journey in life. And these things that we go through, financial things, the things of families, and as parents and grandparents and neighbors, we want to help hold families together. But there's only one way, and that's to put God first. Amen? Amen. Let's just let Him celebrate. But I had to read that tonight because as I read this, I just love this in 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Praise God. That's the Jesus that I serve. Well, I want to offer tonight, if anyone has a situation and needs prayer tonight, I know there's a lot of things going on, and we're going to have the special service Sunday morning, and then next Wednesday we'll have the hot chocolate and cookies. We might even have a little coffee for those coffee drinkers. But I just want us to take an opportunity tonight and put someone at the Lord. If He's pricking your heart tonight, if He's going to, because there is a lot of unknowns. But you know, there's nowhere we're going that the Lord has not prepared a way for us. There's nowhere we're going that He doesn't already know. And that's what I want to promise you tonight. And if there's any doubts in your mind or in your heart, if there's that animosity, that anxiety, I want you to give it to the Lord tonight. This altar's open, or when you get a chance to pray, whatever you need, or if you just want to ask for prayer from a distance, that's fine too. So I'm going to ask y'all to stand, if you will. I know what my heart's feeling right now, and I really believe in this direction that God's given us right now, that we have to step up. It is time that we carry His banner high, and we do not allow these things to get in our heart and our mind. We need to let it be flushed out. We need to let the Lord, when Jesus calms us, we need to hear His voice. Just like in the storm, and I love this, I was just explained to me when it says, peace be still. But the peace was for those in the boat. And then be still was to the storm. Peace, be still. And that's what He's saying to us now. Let's celebrate this season putting Jesus Christ first. Follow God in all that we do. Because on this journey that we're on, God's already in control. We don't have to ask Him, hey, Lord, you need to take over. We just need to go ahead and give Him the wheel and let Him guide us. Well, if there's any prayer needs tonight or anyone that has a prayer request, y'all just bow your heads if you would. Please close your eyes. This is just between you and God, and we'll pray with you. But if there's anyone has a prayer request tonight, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. If anybody wants to come to the altar tonight too, this altar is open. But we'll be praying with you. And the Lord, we just ask Him just to guide us. And I just want to tell y'all, Merry Christmas. I'm excited about this coming up. Let's be in much prayer for those that are going through these situations right now that don't have the Lord. May His word go forward. May Jesus Christ be the answer that they're seeking. And we just give them all the glory. Praise the Lord. Brother Eddie.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. Praise God. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful miracle. Amen. The crossing of the Jordan River. Another mighty miracle. There's a message in there for the ministry as well. A very stringent and important message for the ministry. God always has an order. And he would not ask Joshua to tell the people to do something that the ministers would not do or that the priest would not do. So he asked the priest to go first. And that would be a really good ministry to all pastors and evangelists and ministers today, not to expect the flock to do something that the ministers are not willing to do too. But they did go first, and they stood there on the dry ground. A wonderful, wonderful story and a wonderful message. God wasn't finished there. Amen. He still had Jericho to go. God's just full of great and mighty miracles. And he's still a miracle-performing God today. May God bless you, each and every one of you. We love you so very much. Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. Appreciate you. Do remember all the prayers. And if you do get Facebook and if you do get the text, there are multiple prayer requests going out each and every day. So let's continue to remember those. Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Certainly the affliction, the virus itself is hard enough, and then the fear that surrounds all of that too is causing a lot of people to almost just be in a panic-stricken state, and especially these nursing homes and hospitals that are having to fight that on a constant and a daily basis. But you know what? We serve a mighty God. Amen. And I know that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And he also says the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. So I'm going to put my faith and trust in God. With this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for another opportunity, another time to come to your house to worship. Thank you for those who've gathered here tonight. And Father, we pray your blessing upon each and every person here, every family that's represented. Praying, God, that you would just protect us, God, with your power. Lord, I pray that you would heal and touch those who are sick, those who are afflicted. God, I pray tonight, Lord, for these special requests, God, that you would be there in the nursing homes. Those that are sick and shut in tonight, God, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless and strengthen them with your healing power. Now go with us, Lord, to keep us safe from all harm and danger. We'll be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful evening.